Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling a really monumental story from World War II. It's about a plan that was supposed to be this brilliant war-ending move,
but instead became, well, one of the biggest Allied disasters of the war.
Exactly. We're diving into Cornelius Ryan's incredible book, A Bridge Too Far.
And it covers Operation Market Garden, September 1944. Just this massive, audacious airborne operation in the Netherlands.
The largest in history, wasn't it?
Yep.
Over 35,000 troops dropped behind enemy lines.
That's right. And our goal today is really to understand how something so big, so well-resourced, could go so catastrophically wrong.
And why should you listen and care? Well, because Market Garden isn't just history. It's like a timeless case study in what happens when plans go bad.
Absolutely. It's about hubris, planning failures, the sheer human cost, lessons that are still relevant today, you know, in business, in strategy, anywhere big decisions are made.
So to really get into it, we need to understand the author, Cornelius Ryan. He wasn't just some academic writing years later, was he?
No, not at all. Ryan was an Irish-American journalist and, crucially, a war correspondent. He was there. He covered D-Day, the push into Germany. He saw it firsthand.
So he had that immediate, visceral feel for it.
He did. But what made him special, and books like A Bridge Too Far so powerful, was his method. He really changed how military history was written.
How so? I heard his research was legendary.
It was utterly groundbreaking for its time. He sort of pioneered this narrative style, blending deep historical research with like a novelist's eye for story and character.
And the interviews.
Oh, the interviews were key. For this book alone, he and his team tracked down and spoke to over 2,000 people involved.
Wow, 2,000. And not just the generals.
That's the crucial part. Yeah. He talked to everyone, Allied soldiers, from privates to generals, German commanders who fought against them, Dutch resistance members who risked everything.
And the civilians.
Yes, absolutely. Hundreds of Dutch civilians who were caught right in the middle of it all. Their perspective is vital. So the book isn't just about tactics, you know, arrows on a map. It's about people. Courage, fear, mistakes, suffering. It feels incredibly real.
Okay, let's break down the operation itself. The book's core is about this huge gamble by the Allies, specifically Field Marshal Montgomery. What was the big idea?
Well, the context is late summer 1944. The Allies have broken out of Normandy, they're racing across France, and the Germans seem to be collapsing.
So there's the sense of optimism, maybe over-optimism?
Definitely. Montgomery pitched this plan, Operation Market Garden, as a single knockout blow. The idea was to use airborne troops to seize a series of key bridges in the Netherlands.
Creating a corridor, right?
Exactly. A corridor stretching over 60 miles, crossing major rivers like the Meuse, the Waal, and crucially the Lower Rhine at Arnhem. This would basically bypass the main German defenses, the Siegfried Line, and open a path straight into Germany's industrial heartland, the Ruhr.
End the war by Christmas 1944. That was the promise.
That was the hope. But Ryan's book shows it was, well, fundamentally flawed from the start.
What were those flaws? You mentioned hubris.
Yeah, massive hubris. Mm. Allied high command was convinced the Germans were beaten, incapable of serious resistance. This led them to rush the planning, squeezing months of work into just days.
Days for an operation this complex.
Incredible, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And because they were rushing, and because they wanted to believe the Germans were weak, they ignored critical intelligence.
The Panzers.
The Panzers. Multiple reports, including from the Dutch underground, warned that elements of two elite SS Panzer divisions, tough, experienced armored units, were refitting right near Arnhem, the final objective.
And they just dismissed it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Chalked it up to maybe a few battered tanks, nothing serious.
Yeah.
Just classic confirmation bias. They were designing this lightning-fast operation, and strong German armor didn't fit the picture.
So the operation had two parts, Market and Garden. Can you break those down?
Sure. Market was the airborne part. Dropping those 35,000 elite paratroopers, the American 101st and 82nd Airborne Divisions, and the British 1st Airborne Division, their job, seize the bridges.
Okay, seize the bridges along this 60-mile stretch. And Garden.
Garden was the ground component. The British XXX Corps, a powerful armored column, had to punch its way up a single narrow road connecting these bridges.
A single road?
Yes. Just one main road.
Yeah.
It quickly got the nickname Hell's Highway. Their job was to relieve the paratroopers holding the bridges, linking up with them one by one, all the way to Arnhem. Speed was everything. They had to get to Arnhem within like 2 or 3 days max.
And if that single road got blocked?
The paratroopers, especially the ones furthest out at Arnhem, would be completely cut off and surrounded. It was the operation's Achilles heel.
And the title, A Bridge Too Far, comes directly from that risk, doesn't it?
It does. It's attributed to Lieutenant General Browning, the British airborne commander. When reviewing the plan, he apparently looked at the map, saw how far Arnhem was, how much had to go right, and said to Montgomery, I think we may be going a bridge too far.
A chillingly accurate prediction.
Prophetic, really. But the optimism, the pressure to end the war quickly, it just carried the day. They went ahead.
Okay, so the plan is launched September 17th, 1944. You mentioned the flaws, the hubris, ignoring the panzers. How did these play out right from the start?
Well, the initial drops actually went reasonably well for the American divisions, the 101st and 82nd. They were closer to the start line, faced less organized resistance initially, and captured most of their bridges, like the crucial one at Grave.
So some early success then?
Some, yes. But the seeds of disaster were sown almost immediately, especially at Arnhem, with the British 1st Airborne.
That's the bridge too far. What went wrong there?
Several critical things. First, the drop zones, because they were worried about German anti-aircraft guns, or flak, right near the town. They chose landing zones, a full 8 miles away from the Arnhem Bridge itself.
8 miles? That sounds like a long way for paratroopers needing supplies.
It was a huge distance to cover on foot, under fire, with only light weapons and flimsy jeeps. It gave the Germans, including those unexpected panzers, vital time to react, to block the routes into the town.
And then came the technology problem.
Oh, this is just heartbreaking. The British radios, they'd been issued new sets, supposedly better, but in the conditions around Arnhem, the woods, the buildings, they just failed.
Completely.
Failed how? Like patchy signal?
Worse. Often just nothing. Silence. Units couldn't talk to each other. They couldn't talk to their headquarters. Crucially, they couldn't talk to the XXX Corps tanks supposedly racing to save them or call in air support effectively.
But they were essentially blind and deaf from the start.
Pretty much. It crippled their ability to coordinate, to react to the rapidly changing situation. It was arguably the single biggest technical failure, and it just magnified every other problem. While all this is happening at Arnhem, what about the garden part? XXX Corps on Hell's Highway.
That advance quickly turned into a slow, grinding, bloody affair. Remember, it's just one narrow road, often raised on dikes above marshy ground.
Meaning the tanks couldn't just fan out?
Exactly, they were channeled. And the Germans, especially those panzers, were masters at setting ambushes, blowing bridges, cutting the road behind the lead elements. XXX Corps had to repeatedly stop, fight fierce battles to clear the road, repair bridges. The timetable just went out the window.
So the link-up wasn't happening?
No. The advance slowed to a crawl, days were lost, and every delay was agony for the paratroopers holding out further up the road, especially at Arnhem.
And the leadership situation at Arnhem didn't help either, did it?
It became utterly chaotic. The British commander, Major General Urquhart, actually got separated from his headquarters during the initial fighting. He ended up trapped, hiding with a few aides in a Dutch civilian's attic, for nearly 2 critical days.
You're kidding. The divisional commander was hiding in an attic.
Sounds unbelievable, but yes. His entire division was effectively leaderless at the worst possible moment. It just highlights the complete breakdown of command and control, largely thanks to those radio failures.
But Ryan also highlights incredible heroism amidst this chaos, like Colonel Frost at the bridge.
Absolutely. Lieutenant Colonel John Frost and his battalion, maybe 700 men, were the only ones who actually managed to fight their way through to the northern end of the Arnhem Bridge.
And they held it.
They held it for 4 days and nights, surrounded, outnumbered, pounded by tanks and artillery, running out of everything, ammo, food, medical supplies. It was an epic, desperate last stand. Ryan portrays it brilliantly, not as a success, but as this testament to sheer courage against impossible odds.
But ultimately futile.
Ultimately, yes. By the time XX Corps finally fought its way to the southern bank of the Rhine near Arnhem, it was far too late. Frost's men had been overwhelmed. The bridge remained in German hands.
And the rest of the British 1st Airborne.
They were forced back from the town into a shrinking perimeter around the village of Oosterbeek, west of Arnhem. It became known as the Oosterbeek Cauldron.
A cauldron. Sounds grim.
It was. A pocket of desperate defense, constantly shrinking, under relentless attack. They held out for over a week in horrific conditions. Finally, the decision was made to evacuate what was left of the division back across the Rhine under the cover of darkness.
Operation Berlin, right.
That was the evacuation. Operation Berlin. A desperate, dangerous river crossing under fire. The numbers tell the story. Of the roughly 10,000 men of the first airborne who landed, fewer than 2,200 made it back across the river.
Just devastating losses.
Astronomical. And Ryan doesn't shy away from the impact on the Dutch civilians either.
Right, you mentioned them earlier. This operation that was meant to liberate them
brought destruction instead. Arnhem and nearby towns were devastated by the fighting. And after the Allies withdrew, the Germans took brutal reprisals against the Dutch population, blaming them for helping the Allies. This led into the terrible hunger winter of 1944-45, where thousands starved. Ryan makes sure we remember their suffering, too.
It's such a multi-layered tragedy. So pulling back, what are the big enduring themes Ryan brings out in A Bridge Too Far? What should we really take away?
Well, the first and maybe most obvious is the danger of hubris, that strategic arrogance at the top.
Believing your own hype, basically.
Exactly. Allied command got caught up in the victory fever after Normandy. They underestimated the enemy. They dismissed inconvenient intelligence. They rushed the planning. It's a timeless warning for any leader. Stay grounded, listen to dissenting voices, respect the challenges.
You see that play out badly in all sorts of fields, not just war.
For sure. Then there's the role of sheer bad luck or misfortune. Ryan shows how tiny events, pure chance, can have huge consequences in complex operations.
Like the German commander being right there.
Yeah, Field Marshal Model happening to have his headquarters right in the drop zone. Or, incredibly, the Germans finding a complete copy of the Market Garden plan in a crashed American glider early on.
Wow, they found the whole plan.
The whole plan. Now, debate exists on how much they believed it initially, but it certainly didn't help the Allies. These weren't necessarily planning failures, just awful luck that compounded the existing flaws.
And the third big theme you touched on is the focus on the civilians.
Yes. Ryan really elevates their experience. People like Dr. Arnsinius and Oosterbeek, treating wounded from both sides in his makeshift hospital. It reminds us that war isn't just about soldiers. It devastates ordinary lives. Their initial joy at seeing the paratroopers turns into horror. It adds this profound human dimension.
Ryan was so good at capturing these moments, these human elements. And the book is full of memorable lines or ideas that really stick.
Definitely. He had a journalist's ear for the telling phrase.
The most famous, obviously, is Browning's warning.
I think we may be going a bridge too far. It just perfectly encapsulates that fatal overreach, the ambition just stretching beyond the capability. It's become shorthand for that kind of strategic mistake.
And then there's the constant, painful emphasis on the communications breakdown.
Yeah, Ryan hammers home that the complete and utter failure of radio communications was perhaps the single most crippling factor, technically. It didn't matter how brave the soldiers were if they couldn't talk to each other or get support. Technology failing at the critical moment.
A lesson still relevant with our reliance on tech today.
Absolutely. And one more, perhaps, is how Ryan uses even enemy perspectives. He includes accounts from German officers.
What did they say?
There are paraphrased sentiments, things like admiration for the sheer tenacity of the British paratroopers, especially in the Oosterbeek cauldron. One might capture it as, the fighting spirit of these men was something we could only stand in awe of. It validates the sacrifice, even from the other side.
So, bringing this closer to home for listeners, this happened decades ago, but what are the real-life applications? How can understanding Market Garden help us today?
Oh, hugely, especially in any kind of project management or strategic planning. Market Garden is practically a textbook case of what not to do.
Like relying on that single road.
Exactly. Hell's Highway is the ultimate single point of failure. Any complex project building software, launching a product, even planning a big event, needs to identify those critical dependencies, those bottlenecks. And crucially, you need robust contingency planning. What's plan B if the main route fails? Market Garden didn't really have one.
And the leadership lesson about ignoring the warnings.
That's vital. Leaders need to create an environment where people can bring bad news, where dissent isn't punished. The intelligence officers who warned about the Panzers were essentially ignored because it didn't fit the optimistic narrative from the top.
You need people willing to say, hang on, are we sure about this?
Precisely. You need that challenge function. Otherwise, you risk groupthink and confirmation bias leading you straight towards disaster. It's about fostering psychological safety for people to speak up.
And maybe the idea of cascading failures, how small things can snowball.
Yes, that's a key systems thinking lesson.
Yeah.
Bad weather delaying air support, plus the radio failures, plus the unexpected Panzers, plus the slow ground advance. Each problem made the others worse until the whole system collapsed. It shows how interconnected risks can be.
Thinking back on it all, what stands out most to you personally from Ryan's account? What's the lasting impression?
For me, it's always that brutal contrast between the sheer, almost unbelievable courage of the soldiers on the ground, Frostmen at the bridge, the defense of the cauldron, and the deeply flawed strategic decisions made at the highest levels that put them in that impossible situation.
Yeah, the heroism versus the hubris.
Exactly. And what Ryan does so brilliantly is show that bravery and sacrifice, while essential, are simply not enough on their own. They had to be matched with sound, realistic, flexible planning.
What surprised me revisiting this was the sheer speed, or rather haste, of the planning. Just a week or so to put together something this vast. That pressure, that rivalry maybe between commanders like Montgomery and Patton, seems to have overridden basic caution.
It created the original sin, as you said earlier.
Yeah.
And I think Ryan's ultimate, maybe provocative thought, is that while we rightly honor the sacrifice, the most valuable lesson from A Bridge Too Far isn't just military tactics. It's a timeless human story about the perils of unchecked ambition and the absolute necessity of facing reality, however unpleasant it might be. That's why the book endures.
A powerful, essential story, incredibly well told. It really makes you think.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.